Hello, and thank you for tuning in today. My name is Richard Massey, and I preach for the Windmill Church of Christ, located 8 miles south of Weatherford, Texas. Glad to have you with our Bible study today. Today we're studying from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're just going to go through the verses there, and we're going to touch on some major Bible themes. One of those major themes is the second coming of Christ. And we're going to touch on that because God wants us to know that His Son is going to come back. And He's going to pass judgment upon everyone who's ever lived upon the face of the earth. Now, we are looking for Him to return at any time. It may not come in our lifetime. It sure didn't come in their lifetime. But they were told to look for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 10, it says, "And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." We're waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus. In chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, it says in verse 19 that we are to, that the Lord is going to come again, and we need to be there in His presence. And then in chapter 3 and chapter 4, we have further information concerning the second coming of Christ. And in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians, we're going to read this about the second coming of Christ. Now, we know that He's coming. We've talked about Him coming. Paul has talked about that. He talked about that when he was at Thessalonica. But even after he leaves Thessalonica, he continues to write about it because Christians need to be aware that a time is coming when the Lord will return and the world will be no more. Notice verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians 5, "But of the times and seasons, brethren, we have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." He didn't need to write it because they had already heard about it, but he did it anyway because we need to have this point well established in our minds. The Lord is going to come back, and we need to be prepared for Him. Now, one of two things are certainly going to happen. Either you're going to die before He comes back, or you're going to be alive when He comes back. Either way, we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared for death, or we need to be prepared for the coming of Christ. Now, when He comes, it's reason for concern for those who have not obeyed the gospel. Notice 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 3. "For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with a child, and they shall not escape." When the Lord comes, there's going to be destruction, sudden destruction. That's why we want to be ready. We don't want to be a part of the destruction. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, here's the destruction, verse number 7. "And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction," sudden destruction, "from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." Christ is going to come. We should all be aware of that. Certainly Christians, we ought to be aware of that. There will be no announcement. He's not announcing when He's coming. It's just going to happen. There will be no announcement. And it'll just happen. It's like a woman having a child. Sometimes children are born early before their due date. Sometimes they're born after their due date. Women do not know. Nobody knows. And that's the way the coming of the Lord is. It might be after a short duration. It might be after a long duration of time. We're 2,000 years removed from the writing of this book. And yet we're like them. We're still waiting for Him to come. And He says in verse 4 of 1 Thessalonians 5, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. We're not in darkness. We've got the knowledge of the Word of God. We've got the light of the Word of God directing us and informing us. So it shouldn't be a surprise and a shock to us when the Lord comes. I go outside sometimes and I'm looking up in the sky. Sometimes there's no clouds. Sometimes there is clouds. Sometimes it's winter or summer or whatever. And I say, the Lord might come. And I'm looking up at the sky and I say, I wonder what it's going to look like. That's the way we ought to be. Always ready, always looking. And that's what the Bible says. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 5, he says, you are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. We're not of ignorance. We're not of lacking of knowledge. We have all the knowledge of the Word of God. And so we should be aware that Christ is coming back. Be prepared. Stay prepared. Verse 6 says, therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Let us watch. Jesus taught his disciples to watch and pray. That's what he said. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. We're to be watching. We have a song in our songbook that says that we're to watch and pray. The Lord is coming in the clouds someday. And God wants to save us, and God wants to take us to heaven. And that's why he's telling us and warning us of these things. Verse 7 says, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. They're not watching, they're not sober, they're drunken. They're living in ignorance. They're not watching, and that's who's going to suffer the swift destruction. They're not prepared. Remember the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew 25? 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. They were all waiting for the coming of the bridegroom. But only 5 were wise and were allowed into the marriage supper. The 5 foolish were shut out. And we need to be ready. Verse 8 says, but let us who are of the day be sober. Keep your mind clear. Don't be drinking and taking substances. Be sober. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love for a helmet and the hope of salvation. Let us get ready. God wants to save us, but you've got to cooperate with God. You've got to be prepared and be ready for the coming of the Lord. Verse 9, for God hath not appointed us to wrath. Now, wrath is going to come upon the children of disobedience, but God has not prepared the church for that, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he has prepared the church to do, is to be saved. Now, I want to suggest to you, whoever you are listening here, you need to get into the church if you're not. And you need to be an active, faithful worker in the Lord's church. This is what the Bible teaches us to be. Don't be a slacker. Don't be a hit-and-miss person. Get into the church and be a faithful worker in the Lord's church. And if you will do that, read your Bible, pray every day, serve the Lord, be a servant to your fellow men, be active in the work of the local congregation, you're going to be prepared for the coming of the Lord. You will. And that's what God wants. Verse number 10 says that the salvation is by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Whether we are alive when he comes or we're dead when he comes, he wants to be with us. God is preparing to return. Let's help one another. Let's encourage one another. And verse 11 says, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. We're here to help one another. I want to help you get to heaven. You want to help me to get to heaven. We want to be praying for our brethren. We want to be supporting and encouraging our brethren. This is God's plan. We don't go to heaven alone. We go to heaven by working and helping with one each other. This is what God's will is. Now, in view of the coming of the Lord, we have elders, and we need to have the right attitude toward them. Verse 12, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you. Who is over us in the Lord? Well, Acts chapter 20, verse 17, Paul calls for the elders of the church. And in Acts 20 and verse 28, he says to them to take heed to themselves and to all the church, over the which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers. Who are the overseers of the church? Who are over the church? The elders or the shepherds. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, they're called bishops. That's an overseer. And they work and they labor. And being an elder is a working position, not a lazy position. And so we are to respect them, verse 13, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. The elders are to be workers, and the church is to esteem them. This is God's word. This is God's plan. Being an elder is a work, and it's hard. It's a work that is not easy. And God requires peace, not bickering, not wrangling. He wants us to be spiritually minded and to seek peace, verse 13, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Be at peace among yourselves. What is it that God wants us to do? He wants us to have overseers. He wants us to understand they have a work to do, and we are to esteem them highly, and we are to be at peace with one another. That's what the Bible says, and that is a Bible fact. It's a Bible fact that Jesus is coming back again. It's a Bible fact that we need to be ready. We don't know when he's coming. We've got to be prepared for that. It's a Bible fact that God has put elders over the local congregation. They're only over the local congregation. They're not over anything else. They have the work of being overseers. They're to feed the church of God. They're to teach it. And our responsibility to the elders is to esteem them very highly and love them, because they're working for our benefit. God has designed a plan to save us, and elders are a part of that plan. And so let's appreciate their work. Now, verse 14 says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them which are unruly." Some people want to be unruly. God knows that. What do we do with the people who are unruly? God says, you warn them. What about the feeble-minded? Well, he says, you comfort them. Strengthen them. There are different kinds of members in the Lord's church. Some are unruly. Some are stubborn and hard-headed. But others are feeble-minded. They're weak. Verse 14 says, support the weak. Be patient toward all men. So we have a responsibility to everyone. To the unruly, warn them. To the feeble-minded, comfort them. To the weak, support them. And toward all people, let's be patient. You understand what that means, to be patient? That means things are not always going to go well. We're going to hit some rough spots. How do we react when we hit those rough spots? We're patient, like a husband and a wife. Like parents and their children, they must be patient toward their children. We must be patient toward our spouse. And we must be patient toward our brethren. This is what God is requiring of us. And it will help us all get to heaven. So we have elders. Do the right thing. Verse 15. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Don't do evil. Don't do evil actions. Always follow that which is good. That's what Christ did. Peter preached unto Cornelius Jesus Christ, and he said he went about doing good. Acts 10 and verse 38. He didn't go about doing evil, and that's not what we're supposed to do either. Christ is coming back. Be ready for it. Work under the leadership of the elders. And don't render evil for evil. Don't do that. Do good. We're preparing for the coming of Jesus Christ. And in preparation for that, notice verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Someone says, well, I've got a sore back. I can't rejoice. No, it doesn't say rejoice evermore if you don't have a pain. You know, Jesus was in pain. The apostles were in pain. They suffered a lot of pain. And yet the Bible says, rejoice evermore. What does God want us to do as we're waiting for the coming of Jesus Christ? He wants us to be happy. Not worried, not fretting, not miserable, not sick with stress. He wants us to rejoice. Number 17, pray without ceasing. God is your Father, and He wants to hear from you. He wants you to talk to Him. He wants the church to talk to Him. We are a praying people. We are a happy people. That's who we are. Who is a Christian? They're a praying people. There are people who esteem their elders highly and love them for their work's sake. That's who Christians are. Christians are people who are waiting for the coming of Jesus Christ. Christians are people who live in the light. They are educated in the Bible. They know what the Bible says. They study their Bible and they pray to God. That's what God wants for you. Verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is God's will. What is it? Give thanks. We're to be a thankful people, a happy people, a joyful people. That's what God wants. And let's please God. And then he says, quench not the Spirit. Those people had the Holy Spirit. They were inspired men. The apostles were inspired. The prophets were inspired. Other people were inspired. Evangelists was inspired. They had the Holy Spirit guiding them. He says, don't quench that Spirit. Don't douse it. Don't do anything to diminish the work of the Holy Spirit. I call the book of Acts, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the work of Jesus Christ. The book of Acts is the work of the Holy Spirit and how he worked with men. And then it says, despise not prophesyings. Whatever the Bible says, love what the Bible says. Don't despise what the Bible says. Do not despise what the Bible teaches. It may not agree with what you want to do, but it's still the way to heaven. The Bible says, do not despise prophesyings. There are people who want to do away with some parts of the Bible. You know, the Bible tells women to be silent in the church and to learn in silence and to be submissive to the men. But, you know, our modern world doesn't like that, and so they would like to change that. Don't despise prophesying. Then the Bible says something else very remarkable and very wonderful. It says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Why should we discuss error or false doctrine? Well, we're trying to prove false doctrine to be false. And we're trying to prove the truth to be the truth. Why are we doing that? Because the Bible says, prove all things, not prove some things. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Once something has been proven, hold fast to it. Now, the Church of Christ loves to prove all things. We're opposed to false doctrines, and we want to prove them to be false, and we want to prove the truth to be what the Bible says. We're going to continue to do that because only the truth will make you free. Then the Bible says, abstain from all appearance of evil. If it appears to be evil, don't be involved in it. Don't do those things which are evil. God doesn't want us to be a part of that. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Well, how are we sanctified wholly? And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus. There it is again. The Lord is coming back. We need to be prepared for the second coming of Jesus Christ. He's going to return, and we need to be saving ourselves for him. Verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Oh, it's going to take place. God is faithful. His word is sure. And so you can trust in his word. Whatever his word says, it's going to be done. Greet all brethren with a holy kiss. We're to be a greeting people, not a cold-shouldered people. Verse 27, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. That's what we're doing right now. We're reading it and we're studying it. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. That is a wonderful chapter 5. It talks about the coming of Christ. It talks about our behavior and our life. It talks about elders in the church. It talks about our conduct and how we are to behave in view of the coming of the Lord. That's what this whole epistle is about. 5 chapters are about us getting ready for the coming of the Lord. And chapter 1 talks about us being evangelistic. And that's certainly something we want to do, is we want to be an evangelistic people, to preach and teach the word of God to everyone. We want to help you. If you're listening today and you're not a Christian, we want to help you to be a Christian. We're concerned about your soul. We're concerned about the souls of everyone. We want you to be saved. And that's why we're studying the book of 1 Thessalonians, because it teaches us how to go to heaven, teaches us how to live in order to go to heaven. Now, there's a beginning to the life of a Christian. You must be born again. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5. Jesus said, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot even see it without being born of the water and the Spirit. Certainly that's baptism and the change of our lives. In Romans 6, beginning in verse 3, it talks about us being baptized into Christ, baptized into his death, and rising to walk a newness of life. That must happen. We must be born of the water and the Spirit. Our lives must change. Our old man must be crucified in order for us to get to heaven. Romans 6 and verse 6, our old man is crucified so that we might live the life of righteousness and love and devotion as God wants us to do. Now, the Lord Jesus is coming back again, and that's a Bible fact. You have sinned, and that's also a Bible fact. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In order to get to heaven, you must have forgiveness of sins, and that's a fact. It's a Bible fact, not a fact that I made up. You must be born of water and the Spirit. You must be baptized for the remission of your sins. You must hear the gospel, believe the gospel, repent of your sins, change your life, repent and be converted, the Bible says, that your sins may be blotted out, Acts 3:19. And then be immersed in the waters of baptism for the remission of your sins. God wants you to be saved. The Lord is coming back. There's going to be destruction, sudden destruction, the Bible says. And we don't want you to be a part of that destruction. We want you to be saved in the end. God has made provisions for us to be saved. Thank you for listening, dear friend. Continue to listen to the Gospel Radio Network right here and hear more lessons from God's Word. We're glad to be with you today. My name is Richard Massey. I preach for the Windmill Church of Christ. We're located 8 miles south of Weatherford, Texas, on Ten Top Road. We'd love to have you come out and visit with us. We have a website, windmillcoc.org. Look us up on the internet. We have a webpage there, and come and see us. And call us if you need help. Thank you for listening. Continue to listen to the Gospel Radio Network. Until next time, may God richly bless you.